Africans at home and throughout the diaspora. Unity is strength. We've got the power.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now's the time to do the right thing.
We need more unity. Come.
Stop the fussing and the fighting. Now's the time to do the right thing.
In the spirit of Umoja, embrace with love.
Let's do it right now. We've got to do it right. Stop the fussing and the
right
fighting.
Right now,
now's the time to do the right thing.
Yes, this is Jamala Rogers, your host of Voices from the Battlefield, and we are live streaming from my Facebook page because we are still waiting for the cleanup at the studio at Harris Stowe State University. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, that will be complete. But until then, as we say, the show must go on. And so we are glad that you could join us. Let others know that we're live streaming on Facebook, on my Facebook, so that people know where to find me, because that's been an issue. But you know, I know you will. So I am having a little bit of difficulty with getting my guest on, but I do want to, in the meantime, remind you that genocide is still taking place in Gaza. And in fact, the assaults on the Palestinian people and their land has increased in a very insidious way, because one of the things the military strategies is to push people into one area and then bomb that area. And some people have likened that to gas chambers, where you herd people into one area or one compartment or one whatever, and then you kill them. So that's what's going on in Gaza. And so our responsibility here in the U.S., since the U.S. is using our tax dollars to do this, is to send unapologetic messages to your Congress people to say stop, not just stop the war, but stop the money. Because if it wasn't for U.S. dollars and other military support, they could not be doing what they're doing over there. Netanyahu has just become one of these, worse than a dictator. He is, in fact, a war criminal and is wanted in other parts of the world. And war criminals, he's right up there with Putin from Russia. So we need to be aware of these folks that are interacting with the government that we support, our tax dollar support, because at this point, they don't seem to be remembering what their role and responsibilities are. The other thing I want to remind us is that we still have a pathological liar in the White House, a 34-count convicted felon, and every day there's something new that takes away our human, civil, and constitutional rights. That's a fact. What has happened with the Charlie King death is, I think, is a game changer. And there's many conspiracy theories about if it was orchestrated as a distraction. We're not going to get into that. We're going to get into the actual, measurable, quantifiable consequences of what happened when Charlie Kirk died. And there's many Black folks that had never heard of Charlie Kirk until he was assassinated. But once they found out who he was, there was what someone called strategic indifference, because this man spewed so much hate about Black people, particularly Black women. He called Martin Luther King, very unrespectful things, disrespectful things. He called George Floyd a scum bag. He said that Black women, pretty much he said, were stupid, from any, the Black women from Kamala Harris to Oprah Winfrey, to all of us in between, that we didn't have the brains to process the world that we live in. So what we saw happening since his death is Black people educating other Black people. And that included, you know, people from the pulpit. You know, there were videos of Black ministers really talking about who this man was and what he did to Black people. So right after Charlie Kirk was killed, immediately there were bomb threats to historically Black campuses. They had to shut down because of that. And then we had the tragic news of Trey Reed, a Delta State University student in Mississippi who was found hung. Now, people are calling it a lynching, and truly it was suspicious circumstances, but we don't know enough now to say what it was. But it's not a coincidence that that came right on the heels of the Charlie King, Charlie Kirk assassination, and all the backlash that came from that, including on Black people. And so the internet is full of those encounters since then. And so I think we do have to look at what is going on and what we need to do going forward. I think one of our guests is trying to connect to the audio. And so hopefully they do, so we could talk about today's topic. But I do want to say the death of Charlie Kirk has unleashed a wave of repression on not just Black people, but now because the quote left and Democrats were responsible for the death of this man. No evidence to support that whatsoever, but the fact that they're going to use this to go after people. The advisor to Trump has said, we are going to use every resource we have at the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, whatever. We're going to use this government to identify, disrupt, dismantle, and destroy the left, quote, left networks, nonprofit organizations who support hate speech. Now, they said, how are you going to do this, Mr. Stephen Miller? And he said it could be a RICO charge. That's what they did to the protesters in Atlanta around Cop City. It could be a conspiracy charge. It could be anything. We're going to use anything we can figure out, make up, whatever, to do this. And so what that does, y'all, is put a bullseye on all of us. So this moment, if you're in this country, is an inescapable moment, inescapable. So you can't lay low and think you're going to escape it. You can't stop talking. You can't stop being engaged and think that you are going to hide. There's not enough praying, not enough marching, not enough protesting, not enough GoFundMe campaigns that's going to deal with the moment that we're in right now. And you know, for the last year or so, I've been saying, don't give up your voice, don't give up your vote, use your vote, use your voice, and use your feet, because that's the only thing that you have right now. There are no protections, I should say little protections coming from the courts. There's little protections coming from your elected officials. Those jokers are either corrupt or cowardly. And so you've seen they have allowed the MAGA folks to just run amok. They are violating constitutions. They are violating even laws of this country. And there seems to be no stopping them. But I believe in the fourth branch of government, which is the people. And we have to get better organized, highly organized, to stop the role of fascism that's coming. So for example, if we're talking about hate speech, that's even being redefined. What it means is that if you say anything against Trump and his MAGA monsters, that is in fact hate speech. So when I start the program, and I've been doing this for the last several months, to say that this man is a 34 count felon, that could be considered that can be considered hate speech when it's a fact. So I'm saying a fact that then will be interpreted as hate speech. So these folks are changing rules as they go along. They're disregarding the rule of law. And so they are truly running amok. But the consequences are us, y'all. The consequences are not just of our democratic rights. It is literally of our lives. And so once again, I just implore you to pay attention to what's going on. I know all of us didn't know a Charlie Kirk. There are many of them out there. So you didn't have to know him personally, know that the ideology is alive and well. And that's really what we have to pay attention to, because now the ideology is being manifested in real life harm against people, particularly people of color. So I hope that we pay attention to this moment and that we find ways to figure out how we are going to unite with others who are fighting the fight, who are on the battlefield fighting for democracy. And some of you, we've seen displays of that, both during the Labor Day mobilizations all over the country. But in Missouri, we saw a dominance of people at the Capitol protesting the illegal gerrymandering. Now, they passed that law anyway. They passed the new maps anyway that basically is going to eliminate the only Black congressperson in Kansas City. But they felt us. They saw us. And we're not going away. And they know that as well. So out of that, we're still going to fight for the maps. There's some legal challenges about that. But we also, one of the other things they did was strike down the ability to use the ballot initiative for some of these reforms that we've been able to get, because the obviously the state legislature is not going to do them. So that's how we got the expansion of Medicaid. That's how we got paid sick leave. That's how we got increased minimum wage. So that ballot initiative, which goes back to, again, what I'm calling the fourth branch of government, the people, we have made that happen. And we are going to make it happen again, because immediately we started the referendum, organizing for the referendum to reinstate the ballot initiative. And so you will see people on the street who will be gathering signatures. We have to do this in 3 months, so we don't have a whole lot of time. We got to get 100,000 signatures across the state, particularly in certain congressional districts, in order to get that ballot, get that initiative on the ballot. So I'm going to continue to keep you updated on that, and hope that we don't have any obstacles from these crazy people for us to do that, because that is our right. Our human right and our constitutional right to do this. And so we need to work real hard to get those signatures. So I'll be talking more about how you can get involved with that. I think I'm trying to hear, Suni, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. We can't see you, but we could hear you. Okay, and I'm gonna just go to, you know, this month has been a lot of things, but it's been Sickle Cell Awareness Month. And I thought it would be real educational and helpful and inspiring for us to hear from two people in our community who have been battling with this disease all of their lives. We have Suni Daniel Israel on the phone, and we hope to have Naya Sumter come on, because she's got some events coming up this weekend that I had hoped that she would be announcing. I'm going to start with, obviously, you, Suni. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you, Jamala.
So, one of the things that I think people don't know enough about is sickle cell. It seems like this sort of mysterious disease that primarily affects Black folks or people of African descent. So globally, it's there. I think for me, the mystery is not that it's there, but that for those in the US, it is still persistent after many generations of folks being in this country. So you, when you look at like how things adapt, how people's bodies adapt, how nature adapt, excuse me, it's interesting that this is still with us and still a chronic issue for a lot of people that can result in death. So I'm going to just ask you to talk a little bit about what you know about the disease, what you've learned over the years, based on your own self-knowledge and self-education. And then I'm going to add some stuff that I think is also important. So,
All right.
Suni, welcome. Okay.
Well, what I know about sickle cell is that it started as a genetic mutation, and it was because of malaria on the continent of Africa and Asia, even in Middle East. There were especially Africa. It's a lot of people that were dying from malaria. And this is before they had vaccines or the necessary medical cures for it. And so the gene, the red blood cells, which carry the hemoglobin and oxygen to all your body, they actually change shape. And when the cells sickle, or that's what it looks like, a sickle shape, they would be immune to spreading the malaria. And so that's how it started, a genetic mutation. And after years of the malaria finally decreasing among the population, but the cell, the mutation still remained. And so today, since there is no malaria in the US,
Yeah, right.
because they've basically come up with a cure or a vaccine for that, and but the mutation still persists. And when you have that, those cells, they're no longer around. And when they go through your smaller blood vessels and capillaries, they will block off the oxygen supply. And so when that happens, you get very bad pain in the areas that those cells block off and keep the oxygen supply from coming. So people with sickle cell know that it's a very painful experience. I had crises more when I was younger, in my younger years. I mean, literally, I remember as a child, 10, 9 years old, having pain so severe in my legs that I would be in bed holding my legs up because it was too painful for them to touch the sheets. So that's how painful it could be, and it could be in your, mainly it's in your joints, could be start in your stomach. Sometimes it's in your chest, and like I said, it depends wherever those sickle cells get lodged. That's where the pain starts, and it is very severe. And a lot of people, they have to take pain medication. When I was a kid, I moved here like when I was 12 years old. My parents moved here, and so you have to be very careful about pharmaceutical drugs, because they first started me on Percocet, and later on, like now, I think they mostly prescribe oxycodone and those type of pain medications.
So Suni, I'm going to stop you right there because I want to explore that a little bit more, but I want to make sure our listeners and our viewers understand that, and this is what helped me understand it, because if you understand the role that blood plays in your body, it's similar to like oil in a car. So if you don't have that flowing around, different things are going to happen to mess up your car, including the engine. So So and so you have blood that has that's carrying oxygen to all those areas, including the brain, including the joints. You have all of that, and when that gets blocked for the sickle cells, which and we'll get a little bit into what causes the symptoms and what causes the crises, then you're going to have a problem. And so for people who have sickle cell, they have to be extremely careful about putting themselves in situations that might trigger a crisis. And so so blood flowing is got to flow, and when it doesn't or doesn't efficiently and effectively, people with sickle cell disease or who have the trait are going to have problems. So I want people to understand that. So when you talk about a crisis and what persists, and a lot of it is they don't even know what triggers it, although they've been able to over time figure out some patterns. And let me just say this about sickle cell. Sickle cell is one of the diseases that has never got, I'm gonna say that, never got the funding necessary for research. Why? Because it is a disease that primarily affects a special population, and that special population happens to be people of African descent. So the funding never really happened. There have been advocates who've been trying to get that. There's been some, but just recently, because of what has happened with the Centers for Disease, that funding has been like cut. And so it has really going to put all the research that the little research that was going on in danger, and it also is going to really put people at risk for even preventable death. And so I'm connecting this with the current administration, who is slashing and burning and cutting programs that literally affect people's lives. So for you, Suni, and you and I had a conversation about you really putting yourself on your own sort of self-care, healing kind of thing. And I know certain people have done that, but it seems like a number of people rely on whatever medication their doctor is prescribing. And when you say Oxycontin and Percocet, those are habit forming. And so I would be very scared of that. But tell us really what happens to the body. I know you talked about the pain being so intense that it can't even touch the bed. To me, that is horrifying. And I don't think I've ever told you this, Suni, but and Suni and I know each other because he played for the Infrared Rockers. He's a very accomplished drummer. And when I would hear about the crises, because even then you were a young adult, but had it, and I felt so helpless. And I started looking at what could be done, and one of the things that can help is people donating blood. And so I sought out the Charles Drew program here with the American Red Cross, and I've been giving blood consistently ever since. I stopped during two times I stopped co during COVID, and also during what was the other disease we had running rapid back in the 80s, HIV AIDS. But since then, I've been giving, and I just recently gave, and it's time for me to give again. So for me, that was a way you can't get into your body and say or hold your hand or whatever. It's almost like you just got to watch people suffering, and that must be really, really tough for parents to do, or any loved one to just watch their loved one suffer that way and not be able to do anything. So I want you to tell us, how you over the years realized that medicine was not going to be the total answer, and what gave you purpose in life, and what helped you to put that terrible disease in control.
There are a few things that you can help to control sickle cell, and it's basically your lifestyle changes that you have to make. It has to do with definitely what you eat, not only for sickle cell but for a lot of diseases that Black people have. Number one, this is for sickle cell patients. You must at all times keep yourself hydrated and drink plenty of clean water when you can. Do not drink alcohol. Alcohol, in my case, it will bring on a crisis, and I can never judge whether it's one drink could do it, or I could maybe have two or three drinks, and that would trigger a crisis. So, number one thing is keep yourself well hydrated. Do not overexert yourself, but try to exercise every day. When I was growing up, the doctors told me that I couldn't play drums because that was too strenuous. They said, no. Yeah, they told me I shouldn't do it. So
Wow. I'm
this,
glad you didn't listen to that.
yeah, I am too. I am too because here we go. With that, in my case, it helped me tremendously because I was having, as a younger person, pain in my joints, especially my knees. Drumming turned out to be a low impact exercise where I would have movement. You have to use your legs and arms. Over time, it reduced the amount of crises that I was having, and then I would never have the pain in my joints again. When I have a crisis now, it would start in my stomach, but it did relieve the pain in my joints, and I never had that problem. So this is another thing that I found out. When I was younger, they prescribed that sickle cell patients take iron. Now they've changed that.
Oh, yeah.
They've changed it now, and this is what I learned when I was a teenager, because I studied a lot of things to try to relieve this pain and not have the crisis. So one of the cheaper ways of, first of all, you need to eat organic as much as possible. If you're a meat and potatoes person, then you should supplement your food with green things. And this is one of the cheapest supplements I could suggest for people with sickle cell is to take liquid chlorophyll.
Wow.
Chlorophyll, well, for one thing, it has organic iron. For people that don't know, chlorophyll is one molecule away from human blood.
See,
So,
I did not know that.
yes. Yes. So this is the thing. We are organic beings, all of us. I mean, look,
Oh, yeah.
in the Bible, it teaches that, every herb bearing seed shall be fruit for you. And so things that was created by the creator, organic food has seeds in it. Now, as you notice today, the system that we have, they're making seedless food. Okay?
Yeah, HMOs, H whatever.
GMO, genetically modified food.
Yeah, GMOs, EMOs,
Yes,
yeah.
that's right. And so no one really knows the consequences of eating genetically modified food over time. So what the system has done was created something where it was cheaper for them to supply food to people, but the health consequences are not known. So I would suggest people to eat like it says. Now, this is another thing for people that really need to study about food and what is healthy for you. The American Cancer Society, all of these organizations that collect millions of dollars of money to research diseases, and they have not come up with anything better than what is in the book of Leviticus as far as clean and unclean meats, and that you should try to eat as much fruits and vegetables as possible and reduce your servings of meat as much as you can. If you cannot stop eating meat, then like the Chinese people, a whole lot of greens and vegetables and a little bit of meat.
Right.
That is the
So
healthy.
let so Sunny, are is I know that's something that you came with over time based on sort of trial and error, but is that recommendations that you would hear from a doctor about, like how to control your disease? I mean, what is being told to people? Because it seems like to me that what you're saying today makes perfect sense, and the lifestyle change was which has a lot to do with, as you said before, diseases that affect Black people anyway, whether it be, hypertension, heart disease. So this just falls in the category. So unless you're going to a holistic doctor, what are doctors telling patients who have the trait or the disease?
The only thing that doctors are basically saying, and this is if you have a good doctor, because
Yeah, I hear
some
you.
doctors, that's the thing about some doctors today, are they go to medical school to prescribe pharmaceuticals.
To keep you
And
sick.
yes, that and what pharmaceuticals do are help the symptoms, but they never cure the disease. Now, science has reached a point where there is a cure for sickle cell, and it has been proven. It's called CRISPR genetic gene slicing, where they actually go and get slice the sickle cell gene out of your body and remove it and put in genes that are normal. Now, here we go. Once again, the cost of this procedure is merely $2 million, but it is
For
a cure.
one person?
Yes, for one
Oh
person.
my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yes, and it is a, gene slicing. Here we go, because a lot of people think that you only have that choice of medicine that is here in the West. And CRISPR gene slicing originated, there are two females that affected that science, and they're located in Switzerland, because the US not okay them experimenting and doing that type of research here.
Surprise,
So
surprise.
yeah, and so the only thing that I know of in the US that has been also proven to help sickle cell patients is a bone marrow transplant. So I
And
have,
just to remind people that the bone marrow relies on blood.
oh
And
yeah. Oh yeah.
so I'm just trying to get people to understand their body better. So that blood is going to the marrow, which is the deepest part of the bone.
Yeah.
And sometimes that could be the cause of cancer. You could have bone marrow cancer. But when those cells get clogged up for the bone, then you have some real problems.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just like it says in scripture that the blood is the life thereof, and in the blood is the life thereof. And so in order for you to keep healthy blood cells, there are mainly, now I will say this, green things, green food, food that are rich in color, such as sweet potatoes, African yams. Those are the foods that are rich in what they call polyphenols and things that help replenish or fight free radicals. Free radicals are things in your body that attack your immune system. In order for you to keep those free radicals, just like a basic thing of like vitamin C is something that helps fight things that attack your body. So to keep, number one, like I said, for sickle cell, keep the water, your water, and well hydrated, that keeps cells from sickling. So water, green food. This and this for just sickle cell. These are dietary habits for everybody.
Right, exactly.
And if you want, if you if for but for sickle cell particularly, if you have a problem with, you want to eat other, you still want to eat meat, I would still say, look, instead of chicken or beef all the time, one red meat that is probably beneficial is something like beef liver. Because once again, those are things that help build up your hemoglobin in blood. So there are healthy meats if you want to be a meat eater. Even if you buy food from the grocery store, once again, I would suggest that you learn how to kosher your own meat, and which is very simple. You have to go buy kosher salt. You put the salt in water and soak your meat overnight before you eat it. And that's one of the practices that our ancestors used to do, but now
Come
that
on, come on.
But the Jewish people have adopted that way of life, and I'm talking about the white Jews now, because once again, they have adopted a black religion, and they are still following the ways of our ancestors, but we have lost the knowledge of what our ancestors once taught us. So koshering all meat before you eat it, especially coming out of the grocery stores now, because the problem is this: the meat itself is not the problem. It's the preservatives and the
And the
other
additives,
they put
the
in the
hormones and all the other crap they put in there.
So it's super important these days to try to remember that, and to that salt extracts those things from the meat. So to do that will help you. When, like I said, if you have to eat meat, just remember, as much as you can, prepare it yourself and kosher it overnight, and then just and cook your meat the next day. That's a healthy habit to get into these days because of the processing that our food goes through now.
So
So
if you have just joined us, we are here on Voices from the Battlefield. This is Jamala Rogers, your host, and we are talking to Suni Israel, who is a survivor of sickle cell. And we had hoped to have Naya Sumter, who is a young person. And I really wanted her to hear what you've done and what you've learned, Suni, over the years, because I would say at least you're twice as old as she is. She's going to be celebrating her 30th birthday this week as part of the Warriors on what is it? Warrior for Sickle Cell. So they have a run this weekend and a blood giving, but she's a young person that really is coming into her own about the disease and advocating, and she's in public health. So I really wanted some synergy around what you both have learned about your own situations. So one of the questions I have for you, Suni, is do you have the trait or the disease, and what parent did you get it from, and how has the intergenerational knowledge helped the whole family?
Well, I actually have the disease.
Okay.
So this is, I have friends that have had the trait. They might have symptoms like being sore in the joints and things like that, but it is not as severe as people with the crisis. It will affect your energy level in ways. And this is another thing. People that stay active, that will help your energy level. I know there are some days where you don't feel like it, and you don't want to get out of bed, because yes, definitely it will affect your energy level. But to stay active, even if you just walk, Even if you just walk on a consistent basis, that's good exercise. So don't think you have to go to the gym and pump iron or anything like that. But
But
just.
you what but see, one of the things that I know triggers the crises is stress. And of course that's bad for us on many different levels as Black people, because we live in a society where racism, sexism, all the other isms keep us in stress. And so how do you navigate that piece of it? Do you just meditate? What's the answer to that? Because you talked about a lifestyle and you talked about the diet. Now, what else comes with that?
For me, and I put it like this, a lot of other people, if you have to do what works for you, in order to keep stress out of your life, you have to deal with, I'll put it like this, people that are positive. That's a good beginning. If you have
That
negative,
makes your circle, hey Suni, that makes your circle smaller. Yeah, sometimes that means like eliminating family members that bring you stress.
it can really, it really can. But the other thing on a personal level is like this. You have to still study, get familiar with things that are, you want to call it, what, religious or just to raise your consciousness. One thing that help, here's a great thing that relieves stress, which I was blessed to be able to do, and that's music. Yes, music is it can be a healing thing, and now more and more, if you can't just positive frequencies. I know if a lot of people are on YouTube and all of that now. If you look on there now, they actually have a lot of things that if you want to meditate or listen to different frequencies, because this is a science now, that there are healing frequencies. There is actually a treatment for cancer, which by the way, through prostate cancer in 2014, treated at St. John's Mercy. At that time, there was what I thought was very peculiar. There were two other people with sickle cell that had prostate cancer that were being treated at the same hospital back then. Stress and temporarily getting away from my eating habits was a cause of that. That luckily that went into remission, and that was a big part of it,
And did
so
you also include a part of your treatment, radiation and chemo? Was that necessary at that point?
I would not. I'll say this. My father, I had to watch him deal with cancer. He had cancer of the neck because he smoked a pipe, and my father was through radiation first. So I was there when he went through that treatment. He was getting better. They decided to give him chemo, and after they started the chemo, 3 months later he had passed. So I would not recommend chemotherapy to anyone that has cancer. Now, I did for the prostate cancer. I did have radiation therapy was the only thing I agreed to, because now with the advances in radiation therapy, they can actually target cancer cells without killing your normal cells. In 1996, it was not that precise. So, but chemo, My studies of what oncologists said, there's people that treat cancer. They surveyed 100 doctors and they asked them if they had cancer, would they take it? And not one of those doctors said they would take chemotherapy.
Wow.
So these are
That
the
tells you a lot, right? That tells you a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
And
needless to
Suni,
say.
to your point, if you have had a loved one who had cancer and you saw how they suffered with chemotherapy, I know I did. I made a vow that if I ever had cancer, I would not do chemotherapy. In fact, I might not do any of it, but definitely not chemo, because like you said, it seems to do more harm than good. And it's debilitating in terms of, like, once you get the treatment, you're pretty much out of it for the rest of the day and maybe the next day. I
Yeah.
mean, it's just like, what are the positive effects of it? And I could see none. But again, to be with a loved one going through chemo, it's not a pretty sight.
No, it's not. It's a very debilitating disease. It's the worst thing I've ever seen. So,
When is the last time you had a crisis? It's been a while, right?
no, I have. This is the other thing. Let me touch on this once again. In 23, they came out with a medication called Oxbryta. They're in the final stages of settling the litigation because that medication, which I for 324, and they recalled it, took it off the market. Damaged a whole lot of people. I feel the only way that I survived is I did not take their prescribed dosage.
But also, you were probably in a healthier position in terms of your immune system than some of those other folks.
Yes, yeah, that too. But here we go. Once again, every time I have tried pharmaceuticals, it's been detrimental to my health. So this is what I'm saying. Even when you have to have the pain medication, and I know people need it because, like I said, I know what they're going through, but still monitor that very carefully. Only take it when you're having pain, and do not, because it's highly addictive. It's highly addictive.
Absolutely.
The other thing is this: I would not advise that you take Tylenol with your oxycodone, as they try to prescribe a lot of times, because once again, Tylenol take on a regular basis destroys your liver. And so these are things that you need to be aware of, that yeah, they prescribe it to you, but it doesn't necessarily mean that everything they're prescribing is beneficial. So
Right.
once again, the best thing that I could tell people is, not least, like I said, with sickle cell, but look, get yourself a juicer. Juice your vegetables and your fruits. If you can't, if you can't eat them, it's hard to eat a lot of fruit and vegetables, very filling. But if you get a juicer, you can be healthy and still have your meals. So that is
Yeah.
something that's beneficial. Definitely, it's a lifestyle change. Like I said, definitely avoid alcohol. The only thing that I have used that is beneficial, and every day or not on a regular basis, is like when you feel like you need to relax or get away, there is a reason for medical marijuana. So,
And that is one reason why I voted for the medical marijuana, but now they are doing some completely different stuff with that, as I fear that they might. But yeah, people like you and other folks who are suffering, yeah, if that's the last resort, why not make it available? Right.
Oh yes, yeah. And like I said, it for me, I don't know about everybody, because it is something that, here we go, helps you deal with some of the stress. It does help you relieve the pain, and if you use it prudently. In other words, like I said, I'm not advising this on an everyday basis or anything, but for me, it never really bought on a crisis when all is done that with one drink. Yeah, so I'm just saying it's, to me, it's more beneficial than drinking, definitely. And so if do that, I say moderation in all things. Moderation in all things. So start to get you a healthy lifestyle. Know about food that's organic, and drink clean water. And those are the things that, once again, the American Cancer Society and all of these people that are getting millions and billions of dollars in funding, they have not come up with anything better than what it says in Leviticus as far as healthy dietary laws.
So I am so happy that you, in your own self-discovery, came up with your own health and wellness plan, because I think that people leave this earth with sickle cell and had not reached that place in their lives. And I remember the first time that I really started getting aware of sickle cell is through the Organization for Black Struggles prison activism. And there was a brother in prison who had sickle cell, and who they were refusing to give him medication, and ultimately he died. And I don't know what medication he was supposed to be on and was getting, but this is the nature of the prison industrial complex. This is retaliation. This is like control. And so ultimately, they didn't have enough information about sickle cell, so they thinking, oh, you don't get your medication, and you're not going to get it today. Well, he ultimately died, and so that started getting me more aware of disease itself, but also the fact that our community doesn't really know enough about it. And I think the point that you are raising about the lifestyle is applicable to like most of these other diseases that we need to be aware of. This country is killing us in more ways than one. I mean, not just the physical shooting by the police and but the lifestyle of these diseases, that it's triggered by stress and we're always under stress. So what do we need to do to take control of our own bodies, of our own health and wellness? And I think you have successfully done that. And I say that because for the listening audience, they need to know that the life expectancy of people with sickle cell disease is much lower than the average citizen. And so I don't know if you've already out that, because all I know is that it's different. I don't know, like, what are they saying is the life expectancy, but there have been a number of people who have died as teenagers, as children, who had sickle cell, and it's a preventable disease. It's a preventable death, I should say. But for whatever reason, I don't think that the journey that you went on, other folks have taken those steps. I think that this over-reliance of the medical industrial complex, and that they are not your friend. And in fact, you need to find a doctor that you can partner with. And this is what I tell people: you're a partner in your own health. You just don't give it over to a doctor. You got to find somebody that you trust. So, in the few minutes that we have left, Suni, can you share with people how you think they could help folks with sickle cell if they know them? And how do they educate themselves about the disease so that they can figure out how to support whatever efforts are going on in our community? How can they help you and others like you?
As you said before, Black people that are healthy and are aware of the situation that sickle cell patients are going through, donation is a very important part of it, because that definitely helps people with sickle cell to get over their crisis, and it is definitely a beneficial thing. But thing is studying our history and knowing that the things that we go through as a race to do basically with lack of knowledge. So we have to know your oppressor is not going to educate you. You have to educate yourself and be aware of the things that they are doing in the society. Look, this system right here, our what we deal with on a daily basis, and family, I've seen it. I've seen our people die from it. They have the Bureau of it's called ATF. They have the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and all of those kill. That's what they do. Or destroy people's lives. So this is once again, this America is where, quote unquote, we are living in a free society, but the government pushes these things on us. So, and this is a message to all the youth out there. Need to guns. Stealing one another. If you're involved in things like that, then you're only worker, your oppressor, and stress and killing your own people. Once again, alcohol, because I know people that have died from alcohol. My father drank. He was a functioning alcoholic though, but once again, alcohol. I know people that have died from that. I know, but once again, like my father had cancer from smoking tobacco. There is a benefit of tobacco, but it's not smoking it. So you've got to educate yourself on things that are beneficial for you, such as, here we go, herbs, natural herbs. Instead of, like I said earlier, when they were telling me to take iron supplements, I found out that yellow dock is an herb that you can take that increases your iron in your blood. That is a natural organic herb. So you need to educate yourself on herbs that are beneficial to you. These are the things that, God has provided for us. That not a pharmacist. He's a herbalist. Okay, so the natural things and the organic things in life are the most beneficial. Now, this is the most stressful planet on Earth. I've been on.
And this country is the most stressful continent on the planet.
Yeah, this I'm talking about. The USA. It's the most stressful country. Yes, it is. And so there's a lot of things that we deal with on a constant basis of just trying to survive. And I know that 9 to 5, if you're blessed enough to have one, because they're constantly taken away from the poor, Medicaid. Policies that are like, anti-DE, no diversity,
DEI,
DEI, canceling all of that. So these things are politically, they are definitely oppressing the poor. Black people are in that category because, once again, not only do they have the system set up, things happen, but what is going on? You have to find the best way that you could deal with this rat race that we've been placed in. And I know it's hard.
And Suni, on that note of wisdom, we're gonna have to close out. But thank you for coming and sharing your journey with us so that people have a better understanding of sickle cell, how to support it, how to address it, how to support the loved ones and people they know that have it. And just to say that this weekend is going to be very busy, because not only is it the sickle cell walk and run and the blood drive that Naya would have told us about, but there's also love letters to the sickle cell warriors, all of that this weekend. And there's going to be the Reparations Justice Summit at St. Hugh's University. There's going to be the Black Radio Hall of Fame induction gala this weekend. They're in town. We're going to welcome them. The 48th season of the Black Rep has started, and this is the last week for Raisins in the Sun. So there is a host of stuff going on, y'all, and you may see me at any one of those. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Suni, for being with us. This is Jamala Rogers, your host, and I will see you on the battlefield.
Stand fight, we've got to do it right. Stop the fussing around.